Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, we are live, and if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. You're not blessed because you're hearing my voice, but you're blessed because if you are hearing my voice, you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name, and we are so blessed to be here today. You are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold. This is the network where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. I praise God for being here. If you're listening to me right now, it's Saturday. Amen. It's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Wherever you're listening to me at, around the world, in Jesus' name, we praise God for you, in Jesus' name, amen. We praise God for our founder and our watchman on the wall for this network, in Jesus' name, Bishop Shalene Cook, in Jesus' name, we thank, praise God for the founder and the watchman on the wall for this radio network, in Jesus' name. We thank God for her and allowing us to come one more Saturday. Amen. I praise God for today's topic, y'all. I am going to say this. We're going to call it the remix. Amen. I know in music, you know, they do a song and then they do a part two of that song and they call it a remix. Amen. Well, we're going to do a remix of something that we've talked about before because the Lord has placed it in my heart to talk about this again because we have so many saints and so many ain'ts in the church. And we have so many people because of the ain'ts in the church. We have so many sinners and backsliders confused about what a Christian is and what the gospel is. Amen. So we're going to look at a Christian of the gospel. And we're going to talk about it more deeper than what we talked about it before. Because last Sunday, my niece, my assistant at my church, the church and Sunday school class, we got a lesson together and we were going to be talking about Joseph, and there was a question brought to me by my niece, and my niece is a teenager, and she was asking me a question that her friend told her, saying that you don't have to be this way or that way to be Christian, and I'm a Christian and everything, and I began to explain to her that a Christian is a lifestyle. Amen. It's not just a word. Amen. And I begin to explain it to her. And then the whole Sunday school lesson took another turn. Amen. And then we dealt with this. Amen. So this is what we're going to deal with because I want to hit the key factors of a Christian and what the gospel is today. Because we have a different view on what the gospel is. And I've said this before on the show, and I want you to take notes on this today. And I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to, the scriptures that we read today, I want you to go back and read those because these are very profound scriptures. Amen. Profound. Amen. So First of all, the title of this topic today is A Christian of the Gospel. Out of that title, there are two words that we look at, Christian and Gospel. These are two important words in our walk with Christ. These are two important words in the kingdom of God. These are two important words if you call yourself a believer, a Christian, in the body of Christ. These are two important words to you. These are two important words to a person's salvation. This is two important words to a backslider's salvation. Amen. Now, if we look at, I'm going to deal with gospel first because we hear this word. And look, let me say this before we get deep into this. These are two words that are used loosely. These are two words that are used very loosely, and they should not be. They should not be. I'm gonna go with gospel first. The word gospel. The word gospel in man's definition of the word gospel is the teaching or the revelation of Christ, recorded the record. The record of Jesus' life. I'm gonna read that to you again. The man-made definition, and I Googled this definition, it is the teaching or the revelation of Christ and the record of Jesus' life. Now, the biblical definition, this is what the Lord gave to me. It is two things. It's three things. It is an anointed history. It is an anointed story. And it is an anointed instructions. This is what the gospel is. It's three things. An anointed history, an anointed story, and anointed instruction. Amen. The gospel itself, you cannot have the gospel without having the word Christian. You cannot have the word Christian without having the word gospel. Now, the definition, the man-made definition of the word Christian is a person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Christianity. Now, the biblical definition, and this is what God gave to me, is it is a lifestyle. You are a recipient of Christ. You are an ambassador of Christ. It is, the word Christian is Christ-like, which means whatever Christ says, whatever Christ does, that's what you do. This is the biblical definition of Christian. Anything outside of that is not Christian, is not the gospel. Anything outside his word, anything outside of the Bible, anything outside of what he said to you or to me is not the gospel, and it is not Christian. Now, how do we know that the gospel and Christian and all of this stuff is true? The Bible says so. We go to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It talks about it. It tells us, and I'm going to give you a rundown before I read it. It talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It tells us about the gospel, and then it warns us about people, as it warns us about any other scripture about people trying to preach the gospel, but they're not preaching. They're preaching their own gospel. They're doing profane preaching. Anytime you try to mix
the world with the gospel, it is profane. That is the definition of profane. You can Google that, or you can look up that definition later. Write this down. Anytime you try to mix light and darkness, gospel and the world, you have profane talking or preaching or whatever motivation, whatever you want to call it. Anytime you do that, and you are hurting yourself and the person you're telling it to. Anytime you tell somebody, and we do have these type of preachers that will tell people, hey, it's okay for you to do this, it's okay for you to do that and still be saved. If the Bible says not to do it, then don't do it. The Bible clearly tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17, it tells us what to do with the things of the world. It tells us to be separate from the things of the world. Amen. We cannot mix holiness with unrighteousness. In the book of Jude, it tells us that there shall be ungodly men that are crept in unaware. These are, and it goes throughout all of the Bible, not just that scripture, and not just that book, but in other books, it tells us to beware of false prophets, beware of false teachers. And these false teachers have either rebelled against the word of God, they have, because they're kicking against the pricks, either they're in it for the money, they're in it for the fame, they're in it for the they're just in it to be seen, they're in it to be heard, they're in it for themselves. And that is a very dangerous thing when you're dealing with people's souls, because, and I say this to every preacher, do not be in this thing called preaching the gospel if you are in it for yourself. This is a very dangerous thing. And the reason why it's a very dangerous thing is because when you tell somebody, preaching is dangerous. Preaching can be a very dangerous thing. I don't care what title you have. Preaching can be a very dangerous thing if you're doing it the wrong way. The reason why it can be dangerous is it's more dangerous. Being a person of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, telling somebody something about Jesus is great. It's great. But it's dangerous when you're telling them the wrong thing. It's dangerous when you tell them just anything off the top of your head. It's dangerous when you're telling them something to please their flesh. Why is it dangerous? Because it's dangerous for you and it's dangerous for them. Because it's dangerous for the person telling them, because if they go out and do it, the blood is on your hands. And you got to answer for that soul. And you can be kept out of the kingdom of God for messing up one soul. You can. Even Christians, real Christians, if you've fallen by the wayside in front of sinners, saints, baby saints, and you're hindering them, you can be held accountable for their souls too. It ain't just preachers, but it's more dangerous for preachers than people that are not preachers, than the person that cooks every Sunday, than the person that cleans every Sunday. But you're still held accountable regardless of what your position is in the church. You're still held accountable, but you're just not held accountable for everybody's soul like a pastor is, like a bishop is. But you're held accountable if you're telling somebody something that's ungodly. You are held accountable for that person's soul. In Galatians 1:1. We're going to go there real quick and read that scripture, because I want you to see it for yourself. I don't want you to take my word for it. I never, ever want anybody, whether I'm on this show, the podcast, or if I'm witnessing to somebody, I always tell people that this is not the book of Adam Tuggle. This is the book. This is the Holy Bible. This is God's word. This is not my word. Okay, so I do not want you to take my word for it. I want you to go back and read it for yourself. Take the time out to go. This is why I tell my Sunday school class, and I'm going to tell y'all this. Read y'all's Bibles. Read y'all Bibles every day. I don't care if it's just a verse. Read your Bibles. Because my niece had a question last Sunday, and it marveled me on what she was asking me. And I told her, I said, you didn't have no scripture to back up. You knew the truth, but you didn't have any scripture to back up what you believed in. And she said, no, I didn't know. I said, that's why I tell y'all to read y'all's Bibles. Because when somebody comes at you with false stuff, you'll be able to discern. That's why I tell y'all. Don't take my word. That's the found. Any leader will tell, a good leader will tell you, read your Bible for yourself. Don't take my word for it. If you see me messing up, don't you follow me. I grew up in that era. I grew up with a pastor, and my current first lady are my parents, but they still believe in the truth. They'll tell you to your face the truth. And they'll tell you to your face, if you don't see me doing right, don't you follow me. If my dad chooses to walk away, he'll tell me, hey, look, if I choose to walk away, don't you follow me. If my mama chooses to walk away, my mama will tell you, don't you follow me. And I'm telling y'all that are listening to this broadcast, if you see me messing up, don't you go my way. You go the opposite way. Stay on track with holiness. Amen. Don't. This is why we have so much stuff in the church now. This is why our services are so jacked up, and because we are letting people just come in, preach any wind and doctrine. No. You will not come up inside here and preach any wind and doctrine. You will not come. Look. I said when the Lord gave me my podcast, when the Lord gave me a platform to do radio, I promised the Lord that I would not let just anything come on, whatever God gives me, and preach any wind and doctrine. I'm not going to let it happen. Not on this one. Not on that one. No. You will not. And that's what I love about Bishop Cook, because she don't let just anything just come on. No. She got to try the Spirit by the Spirit first. And that's what a good leader will do to make sure that the flock is protected, to make sure the flock. My father will not let anybody preach in the pulpit. My mother will not let anybody preach in that pulpit. You got a foul spirit on you, you will not preach, you will not do nothing. You will sit there. And that's the era that we need to go back to. Amen. But let's read this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on. Let me. Amen. I marveled that ye, Galatians chapter 1, verse 69. I'm sorry, y'all. I marveled that ye are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But thou we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we say, and we say before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. This is why it's dangerous for us as preachers and apostles and preachers and elders and bishops and pastors, whatever you call yourself. I don't care your title. I don't care what your title is. If you are preaching any other gospel than what's in this word, you are accursed. He said, even if an angel from heaven come preaching. Do you know why he said any? Do you know why he said even if an angel from heaven? He wasn't just talking about Michael and Gabriel who are in heaven. He ain't just talking about them. He talking about Satan too, because Satan was an angel himself. A third of the angels went with him. That's what he warning us. One third of the angels followed Lucifer out of heaven. Satan know the word too, just like these false preachers know the word. But guess what? Just like the devil, just like these false preachers, they rebelled against the word of God. A lot of these false preachers, they have rebelled. They didn't like what was preached to them. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Uh-oh. They have rebelled against sound doctrine. They have itching ears. And we're going to get into that. This lesson might take a minute because we only got an hour. But this lesson might take a minute. Many will say that they are Christians and preachers of the gospel, but they are not. Look, the reason why we say the gospel is an anointed history, a story, and a holy instruction, or an anointed instruction, is because three things. Number one, it's a history of what God has set for us. It is the history. It lets us know of the past in the kingdom of God. Just like the Queen of England, she has history. Just like their kingdom has history. We have Princess Diana. We have all of the royal subjects of their past eras. They have a history. Well, the kingdom of God has a history too. And it lets us know through the word of God what the history of the gospel is. Now, I know we have the gospels in the Bible, you know. We have the different parts of the Bible that, you know, the history, the gospel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the straight history of what we know, the healings of God. Amen. The history of the healing, the man with the withered hand, the woman with the issue of blood. That is the history of God's healing. Amen. And they're told in stories. This is a story. This is an accurate record of the body of Christ. And it tells us the history and the story are together because the history tells us how we can live, how we should do, what the disciples did. And the story tells us of the future, the book of Revelations. It tells us what to look forward to. Amen. And it's an anointed history. The gospel is an anointed history and an anointed story that we read. And it gives us an anointed instruction. All through the Bible is an anointed instruction. It's not just talking about receiving the Holy Ghost, which is the main focus. But it gives us instruction. It tells us how to live our life. It tells us how. It tells us what will happen when we receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? This is the anointed instruction. Breaking it down bit by bit. That is what the gospel is in a nutshell. These three things: history, story, instruction. That's what it is. That's what the gospel is. And you cannot have the gospel without having Christian. A Christian is a person that lives a godly lifestyle. Basic point. And 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I believe. Let's go there real quick. I think that's the scripture I want. Let's go there real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Yes. This is the Christian lifestyle in a nutshell. And this is the gold. This is a little nugget for you. You want to know what a Christian lifestyle look like? When you hear people say, I'm a Christian, you hear everybody saying, I'm a Christian. They cannot claim something that they don't have. A person cannot claim Christian unless you have Christian lifestyle on the inside of you. I'm going to give you two scriptures to show what a Christian lifestyle look like. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is the nutshell of a Christian right here. Let's read that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, and it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What did I say before? The definition, the spiritual definition is Christ-like. The spiritual definition of Christian is being what? Christ-like. This is Christ-like right here in 1 Peter 1 and 16. He said, be holy for what? I am holy. That's the standard of Christianity right there. That's the standard of being a Christian right there. Do what he says do. Be holy. He never, ever, when he said live a Christian lifestyle, he never holiness. Your every matter of everything you do has to be holy. That's the matter of Christian. So that's why I said, you can't claim something that you're not. Everybody can't claim being a Christian. Everybody can't claim being a believer, because that what you believe in, that's what you're going to do. I can't claim belief in something unless I'm doing it. Christian is a lifestyle. The Christian lifestyle is holiness. Holiness is of God. Now, watch this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is another verse to show what Christian looks like. To show what the word Christian looks like. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's start at verse 16. Verses 16 and 17. Let's read those. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That is Christian. That is the lifestyle of a Christian. These two scriptures. And in these two verses. You cannot mingle yourself with the world. That's what it is in a nutshell. That's the life of a Christian. That's why everybody can't claim Christianity. That's why everybody, and Christianity is, let me show y'all something. They try to claim Christianity as a religion. First of all, I don't have religion. Religion is somebody let me give you the basic rundown of what religion is. Religion is not what man says it is. Man thinks religion, or the world thinks religion, is this. This is not religion. Religion is somebody that comes in the church, does the same thing, but believes out the same way. That's religion. The world has religion. I don't have religion. The world thinks we got religion. I don't got religion. I got salvation. I live up under salvation, where I don't have to do. Religion is a religious thing, is something that you do on a day-to-day basis, but you never get any joy out of it. You can go to your job religiously. You might get a paycheck, but you don't. Sometimes we don't enjoy the jobs that we do. We do them because, why? We need a paycheck. That's religion. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were religious. They lived up underneath they lived religiously. They showed religious acts when they tried to come against Jesus himself. Is it not, you're not supposed to work on this, and I'm paraphrasing y'all. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. Who said that? They were condemning Jesus, trying to rebuke Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day. Because it wasn't in their religion. It wasn't in their matters to work on the Sabbath day. Look, let me tell you something. Anytime God wants to move, let him move. That's why the services that we have, I the Lord has put it down in me to, the Lord showed me something, that there is going to be a revival going around. It's going to start here in Indianapolis, and it's going to be spread abroad. Sorry, y'all, different states. Amen. Sorry. All 49 other states. I'm sorry. It's going to start here in Indianapolis. Amen. but it will be spread abroad. And this is a spiritual revival that's going to take place, that even the President of the United States is going to have to take notice. You can hear me now. The Spirit of God, because we are living in the last days, he said in his word that in the last days that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Well, guess what? There is about to be a spirit of a revival. The spirit of the day of Pentecost is about to happen. Because we're not even living in the last days anymore. We're living close to the end of the last days. And he's about to pour out his Spirit that more. You thought he poured out his Spirit before? You about to see souls like you've never seen before. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. I just put up a video of a 7-year-old little girl be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you might say, well, she's 7. She don't know what she's doing. She told me. She told me how she received the Holy Ghost. I asked that little girl. At 7 years old, she understood what happened to her. You want to go? You don't believe me? Go check out my Facebook page. I got it right on there on my Facebook page. This little girl told me on camera how, what happened to her. I said, what happened to you? She said, I received the Holy Ghost. I said, how do you know you received the Holy Ghost? I heard myself speak in tongues. That little girl repented of her sins, and the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost. And she knew that she got the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the same God that filled the people in the upper room. This is what the gospel is about. People don't want to preach this no more. People don't want to preach holiness no more. People don't want to preach salvation anymore. Preach it until the end season, out of season, whether people like it, whether people don't like it, whether you have a small church, a big church. Don't be scared to lose people because you're preaching salvation, because you're preaching holiness, because you're standing on a standard. People that preach, it don't take all that. Look, let me tell you something. the people that preach, it don't take all that no more. Let me tell you, it does take all that, and it takes more because of the world that we live in today. The people that were living back then, they had so much anointing because they stayed on their face. They stayed at the feet of God. They prayed. They fasted. They sought the Lord. But everybody's seeking God, but they're seeking God for the wrong thing. Everybody's seeking God, but they're seeking God for jobs. They're seeking God for businesses. They're seeking God, Lord Jesus, I did not mean to go here. They're seeking God for this. They're seeking God for that. They're seeking God for more money. I'm not seeking God for all that mess. And I'm calling it because when you seek God for more of the world standards and you're seeking God for more worldly stuff and earthly stuff, then you are spiritual. It becomes mess. But when you seek, I need that stuff to survive. I need that. The Lord knows. The Lord knows what you have need of. Check out Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. He said that the Father knows what you have need of. He knows what you need. But you got to seek him first. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. Stop seeking the houses and the lands and the cars first. That new bit, I'm tired of profane preaching. I'm so sick and tired of it. My spirit is sick and tired of it. You preach holiness. Preach salvation. It's good to encourage the people sometimes. It's good to encourage them. You're going to be blessed. Tell them that they're going to be blessed if they receive salvation. Yes, God reigns on the just and the unjust, but the unjust need to learn how to be saved. Because all of this stuff, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? The soul of a man is more important than things. The soul of a man, the soul of a woman, the soul of a boy, the soul of a little girl is more important. That little girl's soul was more important than what she could ever have in this world. The Bible tells us, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And I'm 34 years old. I don't know how long I'm going to be on this earth. I pray that I live a long, prosperous life. But until the day I meet Jesus, I'm going to preach this thing. I'm going to teach this thing. And I'm going to stand on it until the day the Lord calls me home. Why? Because I know it's real. I know it's real. I know that this style of preaching and this preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is real. People don't want to talk about it no more. People have itching ears now. The preachers got itching ears. The saints have itching ears. Everybody got itching ears. Why does everybody got itching ears? Why? I know why. Because we're living in the last days. I understand why. You might say, well, why are you asking why if you already know why? I know why. Because we're living in the last days. But some of this stuff is not because of the last days. Some of this mess that's happening is because the saints of God are not doing their job. Satan is on his job. Satan is on his job. He's trying to steal. He's trying to kill. He's trying to destroy. He's destroying people left and right. We got souls out there that are dying daily. Because the saints of God, and I'm not talking about natural death, I'm talking about they going to hell. And I'm not condemning nobody to hell. Let me say that now. Let me throw out that disclaimer right now. I am not condemning no saint, no sinner, nor backslider to hell. I'm not saying you're going to hell. If you don't repent, you will. And I'm going to put it point blank. Whether you be saint or sinner or backslider, if you don't repent, if you're not in the will of God when you leave up out of here, that's why the Bible says narrow is the way. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. He ain't talking about natural death when he says the end thereof is death. He's talking about hell. That's why the Bible says when it talks about the white throne of judgment in the book of Revelation, he said, I saw the dead, small and great. There's rich men. There's poor men. There's children. There's presidents. There's everybody. But you don't got to go. The Bible talks about a great falling away. But you ain't got to be. You ain't got to be in that great falling away. And when it talks about the great falling away, it's talking about the saints of God. It ain't talking about sinners. It's talking about the saints of God. You do not have to be in that great way. And look, for preachers that are preaching mess, and I'm talking about mess, you're going to end up having yourself messed up. You're going to end up, okay, look, let me give y'all an analogy here for preachers. This is just for the preachers because we only got a little bit of time left. I told you that this message is going to take a little bit longer because I'm going to let the Holy Ghost have his way. For you preachers, why would you rather give up your spot, give up your mansion in heaven for things down here, for possessions down here? I say it all the time. These television ministers, most of these television evangelists, they preaching false doctrine. That's why I don't listen to them. And the people that are listening to them got itching ears. That's why I don't listen to them. I don't listen to, look, you can get mad at me all you want to, but any time you listening to Oprah Winfrey for your guidance, any time you listen, Oprah ain't saved not nary time. She ain't repented. She ain't been baptized in Jesus' name. She ain't been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know she ain't been, and you might say, well, how do you know Oprah Winfrey? Because she believes in multiple gods. That's why. She believes there's more than one way to get to heaven. You don't believe me? Listen to her. Listen to her. You got Tyler Perry. You got Bishop Jakes. You got all these people friends with Oprah Winfrey. Bishop Jakes friends with Oprah Winfrey. Tyler Perry friends with Oprah Winfrey. And I'll go up against any of them, too. And I'll tell them, just like I'm saying it now, I'll tell them to their face, you wrong. If you preaching false doctrine, you are wrong. I'll tell Bishop Jakes to his face, he wrong too. If you preach false doctrine, you wrong. I'll tell Crefro, anybody else, Paul and Jan Crouch. I'll tell all the TBN that too. You wrong. If you ain't preaching the way the Bible says, you wrong. Why? Because holiness needs to come back to the forefront. You preaching any wind of doctrine and you wondering why your church so messed up. Just because they jumping and shouting don't mean that they delivered. Just because a person jumps and shouts don't mean that they delivered. You can jump and shout and sin. The Bible declares, the Bible says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It didn't say saved. You can be unsaved and still praise the Lord. You can be unsaved and jump and shout. I done seen it. Because the Bible says so. Now, the difference between praise and worship, as we do, as we say in our services, it's time for praise and worship. The sinner man or the backslider or the person that they can't worship God. Because the Bible says that he who worships him must worship him in what? In spirit and in what? Truth. You got to be in the truth. You got to have his spirit to worship him. That's why we just read. He said, if you, look, you cannot be in Christ and still live unholy. You can't do it. You cannot do it. There is no way. I'm going to take y'all to a scripture real quick. I'm going to show y'all something. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you do not have salvation, I'm going to show you something. This is another scripture to show that, hey, if You cannot claim being a Christian unless you have his spirit. You can't. That's why I said you can't claim something that you don't have. It's just like me claiming a job. Now, claiming things into existence is a different story. You might say, well, what about claiming stuff into existence? What about the speaking things as not as though they were? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But there is God is not stupid. God is not dumb. He is not stupid. He was not born yesterday. He created us. We did not create him. He is not dumb. He knows when you claiming something into existence and when you trying to claim something that you ain't got. I'm sorry. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and see what the Lord says about this Christian lifestyle. This is why we cannot claim something that we don't have. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That's why everybody can't claim being a Christian. And I want you to write these scriptures down and go back and read them for yourself. This is why some, now you might say, well, I listened to Bishop Jakes and I got a word. Okay, just like the devil, and I'm not claiming, and I'm not saying Bishop Jakes is the devil. I'm not saying that. Hear me. I'm not saying Bishop Jakes is the devil. But there are some things that these television ministers, and not even just television ministers, because I ain't just hitting the television ministers. I'm talking about the minister that's over here preaching false doctrine. They'll add a little bit of truth, and then they'll add some falseness to it to make it seem like it's good. That's how we get confused, because they add a little bit of truth, then they add a little bit of falseness, then they add a lot of truth, then they add a lot of falseness, then they mix it together. That's how you get confused. If you're not studying your word, and if you're not in-depth into the word, I mean in-depth. I'm not talking about on top of it. I'm talking about in it, in the core of it. This is what I'm talking about. When you hear people taking the devil did it. The devil did it. It's the same spirit. That's why the Bible says try the spirit by the spirit. The same spirit. These false preachers that are preaching false doctrine is the same spirit that the devil used. It's the same spirit that the devil had when he tried Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He used the word of God, but he was preaching another gospel. He added a little bit of lies in there. He added some truth and some lies. Uh-oh. He added a little bit of truth and a little bit of lie. Just to see. But we can make it through because Jesus made it through. If we have his spirit, we'll have his spirit to fight. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? We must live. That's why we can't claim. That's why everybody can't claim being a Christian. That's why everybody can't claim the gospel. Everybody can't claim knowing the gospel if you ain't never studied it. And I mean truly studied and lived it. If you haven't studied, you know, studying the gospel of Jesus Christ is also living the gospel. You're studying the gospel when you live it. That's what the Lord just gave me. You're studying the gospel still when you live it because you're trying it. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. When you study the gospel, you live the gospel. You're still studying it while you're living it. You're studying it. You're saying, oh, God, oh, Lord, I think I can do this. Let me try it. That's why the Bible says, try me. Prove me. Amen. Oh, taste and see. Try his word. The Lord is leading me to go here. Let's go to Matthew Matthew chapter 24, verse number 5. I think this is where I want to go. I'm going to give you these scriptures in these last 10 minutes that we have. These are false preachers. These are false preachers, okay? This verse is letting us know about the false preachers, okay? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There are many people that say that they are Christian. There are many people that say that they are called by God to preach the gospel. But the only way for you to be able to preach the gospel, you have to read the stories of the gospel, know the history of the gospel, and live out the instruction of the gospel to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be able to tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't live, you cannot have a ungodly lifestyle preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It ain't going to work, because eventually you're going to be exposed. You're going to be exposed. And my prayer is that person that preaches false gospel, are preaching their own gospel, are putting their own spin on the gospel, are saying, it didn't say it like that. Some of these people that say they didn't say it like that, it is said in the Word of God plain as day, and you reading it plain as day. For example, they'll say, well, God didn't say be baptized in Jesus' name. You could be baptized any way you want to. Where does it say that at? Matthew 28:19 says to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, it didn't. No, it did not. It did not say go be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is nowhere in that Bible where you'll find in the Word of God that anybody was baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But you'll find it in Jesus' name. And Acts 2:38 ain't the only scripture either. They were either baptized in the name of Jesus or in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell. Now, in the Old Testament, you will not find anybody that was baptized in Jesus' name, because the Holy Ghost hadn't been given out yet. From Genesis up until the day of Pentecost, nobody had the Holy Ghost. Even the thief on the cross did not have the Holy Ghost. He died without the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost, like I said before, God is not stupid. God is not going to try somebody for having the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost wasn't given out yet. Jesus hadn't even died. The thief on the cross that says, remember me in paradise, or the Lord telling him, you'll be remembered in paradise. Amen. He was not stupid. God was not stupid. That's why he told him he'll reign with him. Because if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. But that man on the thief on the cross, he did not have the Holy Ghost. Because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out. The person that was giving out the Holy Ghost was on the cross right next to him. And he hadn't even died. Amen? He hadn't even died yet. If he was dead, he wouldn't have been able to talk to him. This day you shall be with me in paradise. He wouldn't have been able to tell him that if he was already dead. So the thief on the cross, yes, the thief on the cross went to heaven by his faith. Those people live by faith. That's why they had sacrifices too. Uh-huh. That's why they gave burnt sacrifices in the temple. That's why the high priest was the only one that had to go in the holiest of holies to give the sacrifice. They covered their sin. They didn't free them from their sin, but they covered their sin. But when Jesus died, that's the thing that did not just cover, but it removed their sin. That's why we should be baptized. That's why we should repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen? This is the reason. The only thing, and I hate it when preachers say, well, I don't have to, I only read the New Testament. Oh, forget the Old Testament. That's the old way. That's still the same way. Why? Because the Old Testament was Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. We still have to obey the Old Testament. Amen. The only thing we mainly don't have to do of the Old Testament is give sacrifices. Because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. That's the only thing that we don't have to do anymore. It's giving sacrifices. Amen? We have to follow. He came that the law may not be destroyed, but the law might be fulfilled. That was everything under the Old Testament was underneath the law. But he did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Amen? So the law is not destroyed. When Jesus came, he didn't destroy the law. He didn't get rid of it. That's why I say to some people that don't believe in reading the Old Testament, what are you doing? Because you still have to follow the Old Testament teachings of Moses, of Aaron, of the ones in the Old Testament. If we didn't follow the Old Testament teaching, why are we reading Job? Why is everybody saying, well, I had a Job experience? No, you didn't. You did not have a Job experience. Job lost everything in one day. If some of these preachers don't believe in the Old Testament teaching anymore because that's under the law, why are you still reading Job? Uh-oh. Why are you still reading about Daniel in the lion's den? Why are you still reading about the three Hebrew boys? Uh-oh. In the various ones that were in the Old Testament. Oh. Uh-oh. Christian lifestyle. This is what it is. The gospel. You can't have the gospel without having a Christian lifestyle because you won't be able to fulfill the instructions, the holy instructions of the gospel without that Christian lifestyle. And to get that Christian lifestyle, you got to read the history of the gospel. You got to read the stories of the gospel. Amen. I hope that you got something out of this. We will continue this next week because I got so much other scriptures that we could read, but time has gotten away from us in Jesus' name. But we thank God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come one more time in Jesus' name. We praise God. When we were off the air, when we were getting ready to come on, I came on and heard Bishop Cook praying. So I just started praying along with her. Amen. In Jesus' name. We thank God for each and every person that listens to this broadcast in Jesus' name. Continue to pray. I'm just going to give this announcement real quick. Facebook, I'm on my Facebook page. I'm praying every day, Monday through Friday, every day at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to join me in that prayer, you can. We pray for everything. We pray for souls. We pray for everybody in Jesus' name. So, and continue to listen to the Summit Internet Radio podcast show. I thank God for your prayers in Jesus' name. Next week, we will be going back over this in Jesus' name, a Christian of the gospel. We're going to stick to this until the Lord says the same. Amen. God bless you. I love you, each and every one of you, in Jesus' name. This is the Summit Internet Radio. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle and the Summit Internet Radio podcast show in Jesus' name. Make sure you listen to it. God bless you all right now in Jesus' name. I claim blessings upon your life in Jesus' name. God bless you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture. In Jesus' name. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Blessings.